You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jenny.
Let's get it started. Season 2, Episode 19, The Young Men and the Sea, air date February 2nd, 1994. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
We're back from the break.
Yeah, I hope you guys had a great holiday season. We had some nice time with family to recharge and unplug, but now we're back in full force and ready to rock and roll with our favorite people of Melrose Place.
I don't feel recharged and
yeah, you're not doing so good.
And full force.
Well,
I wish we didn't even take a break. I missed it so much.
You're the one that said we're doing it.
Mm-mm. You didn't push me. You should have been like, no, we can't. And I would have been like, you're right.
Okay, everybody, it's my fault.
Thanks a lot, Jenny.
Okay, so how do we start this episode, Dan?
We start it at the beach house, and Michael Mancini is in a downward spiral. He's slugging pills, he's slugging french fries, and he's chasing them all with the beer.
The Coors Light, baby.
He's having a tough go.
Is that the silver bullet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the banquet beer.
You tap the Rockies. He's tapping it. So his entire place looks like a tornado went through it. There's pizza boxes and like fries just lonely crumpled all like fried out and just all by themselves.
He's just living in filth.
Yeah, pill bottles are everywhere and he's just like taking four or five pills down the hatch with the Coors Light chaser. It's real bad times for him.
His robe reminds me of my dad's robe when I was a kid.
I have the same exact note, Dan. That's one of my 90s moments.
Really?
Because my dad and my grandpa both had that same robe back in the 90s.
I guess that's just a robe dad's got.
It's like this burnt orange terry cloth.
I thought it was like maroon.
It's like a burnt orangey.
Burnt orange is maroon.
No. Disagreed.
Burnt red. Whatever. It looked like my dad's.
Okay. Well, it looked like my dad's too. So he stumbles over to the phone and he's doing this thing where like you walk around with the phone and he's like kind of like stumbling around his apartment, having a fine time walking, by the way. Like the only affect with his gait is because he's like so messed up on pills.
Yeah, it's the pills.
That's why he can walk. He doesn't need like a cane or anything. He's just totally like
because he can't feel the pain.
He can't feel that. That's a good observation, actually.
Yeah.
And he's calling Jane, leaving these incoherent messages like, Jane, it's your wake-up call, sweetheart. Leaving another message for you. Just want to talk to you, baby. Just want to say hello.
And then Jane picks up. She's like, you're a sick man, Michael.
And she threatens to file a restraining order against him if he doesn't stop. And then he says to that, you know what, Jane? If you file a restraining order against me, I'm going to go down to the studio and I'm going to sit there. And I'm going to sit there for hours until you talk to me. And it's like, well, if she files a restraining order and you go down to her studio, you'll be arrested immediately.
Here's what I don't get about restraining orders. Is that one, if you file them, what does this say? You can't call her. If you call her, you can't come near her. And if you come near her or call her, you'll be arrested, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. So what's to say once he gets arrested, he just gets on the phone and calls her all the time? You could do that. Right?
From prison?
Yeah. You just get on the phone.
I mean, I guess you could, but I think that you'd probably continue to violate the restraining order, and then you'd continue to have charges and stalking and violations of that order be put against you again and again and again, and that doesn't help your case when you go to court.
Well, whatever. I mean, if someone is stalking you and you get a restraining order, it's like grounding a kid who already is grounded.
But I'm sure, too, if you're in prison, they have some things put in place where people can't call out to certain numbers that can monitor who you're calling.
Yeah, but then you just tell old Jimmy in cell C, hey, call this number. Like, you get around that. Easy.
You seem like you've really thought out how you want to stalk somebody from prison.
I'm just saying that, like, just the
Should
simple...
Should I be worried?
Yeah, don't divorce me.
Oh, God.
You're getting phone called.
Oh, man.
And that's the other thing. Like, it's... All right, so it's 94. You could block numbers in 94. Just block his number.
Yeah, Dan, but if I'm going to be like devil's advocate like you are, then I'll just go to the hospital and the payphones and all the other numbers that you right. can't block and just call you from everywhere I want to.
Well, just pull the phone out. You know? Who cares?
That's a reasonable solution. Yeah. Just disconnect your phone, Jane.
The whole restraining order thing in general is weak, in my opinion.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
It's like the next step. It's like you're escalating a complaint.
Yeah.
You know? I get what you're saying, that it's really doesn't do anything. It's a piece of paper, like a lot of people will say, but it's just
if they want to get to you, they're going to get to you.
But it's a record that something is on file to say, this person's a nuisance, they're a menace to me, and I don't want them around me.
Yeah.
Now that
we just get that shit, can you just get that shit on anyone?
No, I think you have to have
to prove it.
Yeah, that they are a nuisance to you, that they are threatening to you.
Did to pay for it?
Why do you think I know the ins and outs of restraining orders?
You watch a lot of that the murder shit.
I won't argue with you there. I might be an armchair detective.
I bet you have to pay for it.
I bet you don't.
Because you got to go to the court and get the signing.
I bet you don't have to pay for it.
I bet there's fees.
Hey, anybody, you got any experience with restraining orders out there?
Let me know. Very interested.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So let's get back to the matter at hand here.
Sydney shows up as Jane hangs up the phone. And Sydney's like, what's going on? You got to get that restraining order, Jane.
And, okay, back up. Sydney's delivering a bowl of fruit to her apartment. Did you catch that?
No.
Like, she's coming down in her PJs, and she just has a bowl of, like, bananas and oranges.
I believe it.
Hi, I'd like to share my produce with you.
Why not?
And that's exactly what she says. She's like, look, we need to get this restraining order now. Jane says, he's called me 12 times in 5 hours, or maybe it was 5 times in 12 hours, something like
that. Yes, 5 times in 12 hours. That, and to be honest, that's not that bad. I don't think that's
that
bad.
According to whose standards?
12-hour window, you called 5 times. You know?
That's a lot, Dan.
Maybe you called twice in 2 hours.
And it's the morning. So that 12 hours was over the a.m. Okay.
Yeah, I guess wherever the clock lies.
Yeah,
that's a lot. It's worse if it's like 3 a.m. to 6.
That's a lot. So Sydney talks Jane into going down to the courthouse and filing this restraining order and says that she ought to come with her because she's got a lot of examples herself as to how Michael's very threatening and it would just kind of help her case.
And what would Sid say? Well, I fucked him and then, like, you know, he wanted me to leave him alone all the time.
Well, I'm sure she could enhance that story. She would Sydney Andrews it up, make it very believable from her position to say, he threatened me. Because he does threaten her a lot. He is like, you come near me and I'm going to like knock into next Tuesday. He says like crap like that.
But he says the opposite of like... Like, threatened.
It's like, leave me alone.
Like, don't fucking touch me. Just get out of my life, Sid. He could get a restraining order on Sid, if anything. She's just walking in his house.
Well, Sydney ends the scene by saying, "Don't worry. By the time we're done with him, no court will let a Michael within 300 feet of you."
Ooh. Now we go. Joe is headed over to old Reed's boat. And Reed basically has to like lay down some bad news to Joe. And he's like, "We can't go to Catalina. Because I've got to get the boat fixed."
Yeah, there's something wrong with the boat's engine, and he had this harbor cruise planned, so it looks like this whole chartering of the boat thing isn't going to go well until he can get his engine fixed.
Right, and then Joe is like, "Well, I got a favor to call in." And Reed says, "Well, that's a big favor." She's like, "Yeah, okay, let me just call Jake."
So she calls Jake, and here's my question. I don't know anything about engines, motorcycles, cars, mm-hmm. but are they like interchangeable? If you know how to work on a car or a motorcycle, are you like, "Yup, boats are in my wheelhouse too"?
Yeah.
is that a thing?
I mean, I guess they're trying to make it one, but I have the same note. It's like, Jake can just do boats too.
Any kind of mechanical engine. That's it.
If it runs, I've got it. But the thing is, Jake, like, how does Jake not work all the time? He should be the richest person at Melrose Place.
Yeah, and
he doesn't have a job.
The thing that's really weird to me about this, too, wasn't it the very last episode where Jake goes to the dock to kind of confront Reed to be like, "Hey, man, I know what you're doing." Like, why is he
it was either the last episode or the episode before that.
Yeah, and it's like this request from Joe. He's like, "Okay, I'll be right on over to help you with that boat."
Well, they sort of, later in the episode, they go into that and they say that Jake really wants to protect Joe from Reed. So any excuse to, like, be around is more time where he can, like, sort of view the situation.
You know? I see that. Yeah, yeah.
So he's, like, he's willing to do it. Basically, she calls him on the phone. And she's like, "Jake, get over here. I need your help. Fix the boat." And he's like, "Okay."
Next up, we're back at Melrose Place, and that pool is getting some action, guys.
Finally.
It's been a while that anybody has been in that pool, but Billy is swimming laps. Mm-hmm. And Jake comes out of his apartment with his little, like, tool case in hand to go fix the boat.
Yeah.
And Billy, like, accosts him from the water.
Billy's like, oh, big brother, I gotta ask you something.
He's like a merman, the way that he, like, shoots out of the water. He's like, "Jake!"
Yeah. "Jake, I gotta ask you something."
So he tells Jake that he has accepted this job in New York, and they wanted him there yesterday, so it's like a really quick turnaround kind of a thing, and he doesn't know how he's going to tell Allison and then ask her to move to New York with him.
And Jake, being Jake, he's like, "Well, simple. Tell her you're going.
And if she loves you, she'll go too. Yeah. And if she doesn't, she doesn't love you."
And Jake's king of, "If the situation was reversed, I'd do it." With, like, no proof.
I just feel like that's BS from Jake.
Yeah.
He's so like, "It's my way or no way."
Yeah, tell it. And then he said, quote, "If the situation was reversed, you'd go. Tell her that."
Yeah, so that's kind of where we leave things there. And Billy's just left pondering, like, "Yeah, I am going to tell her she's got to go.
And if she says no, then slam a bottle of wine at her wall." Break her fridge.
That's worked for me.
Yeah.
So next scene, we are with Matt and Jeffrey. And I think Jeffrey's over at Matt's place after an evening together. Did you get that sense too?
No.
You didn't?
I don't think they
did. I think they were having coffee, like, in the morning.
No. You think they've done it?
Had sex, Dan?
Yes.
Probably they're adults.
I don't think they've done it.
I mean, it's like third date.
It's like, no, this is like day two.
Well, okay.
I did not get that they've done it.
Okay, well, maybe they haven't hooked up yet, but he is Jeffrey is at Matt's place.
And he's already sort of clamoring for him to come out.
Well, okay, so Jeffrey is telling stories about how great the Navy is and how he like loves being there and the camaraderie with the guys. And then Matt kind of comes back at him with this like little backhanded under like snide.
The Navy doesn't like gays.
Yeah, oh, it's that great even if you can't be openly gay. And it's like,
be like, whoa, buddy.
And you can tell that Reed is a little, you know, kind of taken aback. Oh, sorry.
Jeffrey.
You. There's so many new males in this.
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey. Jeffrey is a little taken aback by this. And he's like, well, you know, it's a don't ask, don't tell policy. You know, like my sexual orientation has never prohibited me from doing anything in the Navy. And it's just something that, like, I'm not comfortable living that part of my life in front of it there.
And Matt counters with, like, oh, yeah, preferential treatment, promotions, all that stuff gets given to somebody else. And he just kind of gets up and is a little upset about it. And Jeffrey's like, look, let's just have dinner. You want to have dinner? And Matt agrees, and he's just like, I have one question. How do you do it? How do you keep it separate?
And then Jeffrey answers with, well, I keep my relationship simple and short.
Boom.
Whoa, okay. Well, I would kind of answer like that, too. It's like, okay, maybe they've seen each other two or three times. Maybe this is the third time. And Matt's already, like, really being abrasive with him about this. It's like, yeah.
Look, you don't rush. This goes with anything in life. You don't rush someone's, like, personal development.
Yeah, if you're, I don't know. I think that Matt's being a little too much.
Yeah.
A little too much.
Hold the boat.
So next up, we're at the hospital, and Michael Mancini has this cane, and he's just like hobbling around, laughing to himself, like being a little nutcase.
Yeah, he's high as shit.
He really is.
He's hopped up on them pills.
And then this cop comes in, and he's like, hello, are you Michael Mancini? And he's like, yeah, I guess I am. And he hands him a manila folder.
Michael should not be working.
I can't.
He's really fucked up.
I really can't believe that.
And you're around all those doctors, and they can't tell you're
and, like,
looped up.
He's not even hiding it or trying.
No, he's like swinging the cane around.
He's like doing that little like frog dance, like
yeah, looks like fucking Dick Van Dyke.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, so he opens this envelope, and inside is a restraining order. Now, Michael thinks this is the funniest thing he's ever read, and he just starts laughing. He like grabs this poor nurse who's just like there. She's like a little bystander.
He puts his arm around her, and he's like, check this out. My wife gets a restraining order because I told her I loved her.
And the nurse is like, doctor, can I help you? Like, she's very grossed out by him and is like, get the hell off of me.
He's just having a meltdown.
Yeah, he really is.
Poor guy.
So we go back to the boat where Jake has already fixed the engine, and Reed is very thankful and very appreciative and is like, how can I pay you back? What do I owe ya? And Jake, of course, being the guy that never wants to get paid.
Don't give me any money.
Never wants to just, like,
Jake
be
wear a shirt
up
that,
and up.
Jake should wear a shirt that just says, it's on the house.
Honestly. And he's like, how about a beer? Okay.
Jake, you can't get paid in beer, okay?
Well.
He only accepts beer and sex.
He does, though. So they're sharing a beer together in the boat, and that's when Reed comes up with this crazy idea where he's like, look, Jake, I want you to think about coming in on this business with me. It would be a split 60-40 in my favor, but I need an engine guy. I got this harbor cruise coming up. I need somebody that knows how to work on the engines and kind of be here and be my go-to guy about it.
And you're going to go 60-40? Like, he just fixed the engine.
I know.
When is that thing going to break down again?
That does seem really...
That's a lot.
40%? And he's like, okay, so I have this harbor cruise coming up. I really want to have you here. Bring Amanda along. It's free booze,
free
food. Seems
like 80-20. maybe 90-10.
But he's like, all you got to do is just be here on the boat. And this time around, I'm going to give you 60% and I'm going to take 40 just for paying you back for fixing my engine. And if you like it, maybe we can talk about a long-term relationship.
Jake's just like, oh, geez. Oh, shucks.
All right. Well, I'm in. Free booze. You got it. I like to get paid in beer.
Now we go to Billy and Allison's place. And Billy is getting ready to tell Allison that he got the junior editor position in New York. And he's done this in the most Billy childish, dumbass fashion. And he's bought all things he thinks are New York. There's a big apple on the table. There's a plate with some really thin New York style pizza. There's a VHS of Manhattan on the table. Did you see anything else?
Well,
was there like a cannoli?
You know, there's one thing that I always pay attention to is the music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, I can only imagine they probably had Frank Sinatra, New York, New York playing in the original episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like some 2-bit lounge singer karaoke version of some jazz that's
was
awful.
It like, Albany, Albany. Is this some fake ass New York?
Gosh, that got me.
Albany, Albany.
I don't know. But the one thing I did notice is Allison's hair is really calmed down in this scene.
Flatter.
Yeah, I mean, the cut is very severe.
So it's not hot outside anymore. It's February.
Yeah, Dan, but all through the holiday episodes, her hair was like a lion's mane.
Maybe it's a New Year's resolution. She was going to stop looking like shit.
I hope so. I mean, she's on her way. It's the cut is very severe. It's very in your face, but mm-hmm. at least the height and the volume has kind of subsided
good
a little
job,
bit.
Good job, Allison.
Yeah, so she's looking good.
And Billy looks at Allison, and he's like, "Do you understand what's happening?" And like any person in the world would look at him and be like, "Yeah, it's a bunch of New York shit. What's going on?"
And he's like, "How about an all expense paid trip to New York?" And she's like, "Oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. Yes, please sign me up." And then he's like, "To live there."
To live.
And she's like,
what?
Excuse me? And that's when he lays it on her. "I got offered a promotion and I have to leave like tomorrow," or something ridiculous like that. Monday.
Yeah.
And this is probably Friday. And he's like, "And I want you to come with me." And it's like, what person in their right mind would be like, "Oh, okay, 48 hours? You bet. Let's go."
Yeah, and all the times Billy's lied about shit, I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Sign a contract.
Yeah, you can tell that she's really not feeling this idea. She doesn't say anything, but she doesn't need to because her face says it all.
Yep. Now, back to Joe and Reed. Reed looks so dirty. Like, you could see the grease in his head.
What?
Like, I could tell that shit. Like, I'm looking at the TV and his hair is just, it's like he just woke up and poured like fucking olive oil all up in
ew.
It. It's so greased out.
Ew. I did not notice that.
It looks like he's worn like a knit cap for a week.
Well, Joe is loving it. She wakes up from.
He's so nasty.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get his appeal. I really don't.
He looks like he has bad breath. Like, how can you look like that? Like, I could smell his shit through the television.
He's not that bad.
It's disgusting.
Like, he's not repulsive, but he's just, like, not my cup of tea.
Yeah. I mean, the dandruff is falling out of his head.
Stop.
It's gross.
Okay, so Jo is really happy to be in the boat. She feels like she's on vacation, and she's got a ton of errands that she has to run, and they have this big harbor cruise that they've planned, and he's got Jo in on the action. She's going to be the hostess and kind of like entertain everybody and direct everybody when they get on the cruise. And
Reed's like, hey, you gonna run some errands? Are you gonna go home first? Would you mind taking that suitcase? I'm not comfortable with it on the boat with all these people.
Yeah, he says that inside the suitcase is all of his prized possessions, things that are the most valuable to him. And he explains to Jo, it's just a couple of old pictures and clothes, but to him it's everything. So he wants her to take the suitcase off of the boat, put it in her apartment for safekeeping because he doesn't trust the people that are going to be on the boat that evening for the cruise.
Right. And Joe, of course, is like, okay, I'll take your suitcase. I'll bring it home.
Yeah. So they agree to do that.
So that happens.
Next up, we go to D&D. And of course, Amanda Woodward, the first freaking thing that comes out of her mouth is like, oh, hi, Allison. Congratulations on your big move to New York.
Allison, congratulations.
Oh, my God.
She's like, for what? Well, New York, of course. Jake told me the news. I know everything.
You're moving.
And Amanda's, Allison's like, well, I don't recall agreeing yet. There's still a lot to go over. And then Amanda says, well, basically, it's true love, right? If you really, really love him, you're going to go. Don't let this slip through your fingers, you bitch.
Yeah, in so many words, she pretty much did say that verbatim. But God, she has just such a way of being so abrasive in everything she does.
She got Asperger's.
She
doesn't know how to communicate.
She really doesn't.
She's just
a straight up bitch. I mean, come on.
It was all like written on her hand. Like, Allison, congratulations, you are moving to New York. She doesn't know how to communicate. She just gets facts and she just fires the facts off.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a little more conniving than that.
Yeah. She's happy as shit.
She's like, yeah, finally, Allison's gone. She'll be off my heels. I'll be Queen Bee again.
I can go to Hawaii freely and not have to turn around because someone's gunning for my job.
Okay, so next scene, we're at the beach house where Sydney's paying a visit to old Michael.
Yep, and she shows up in this ancient suede fucking cowboy jacket with the danglies on it.
Yeah, it's like a Native American fringe jacket, which actually, Dan, I was kind of digging. I liked it.
It looks like one of the Jackson 5 would wear it.
Or kind of like Annie Oakley from Annie Get Your Gun.
Don't get that.
Oh, my mother was frightened by a shotgun, they say.
Stop doing that.
Okay, so she has a bag of groceries, and of course we see Sydney playing both sides again. Every episode we have examples of this where she says one thing to Jane, turns around, completely backstabs her, and goes the other way.
She's like, Michael, hello.
One day she's down at the courthouse getting a restraining order against him, and the next day she's delivering groceries and trying to be his best friend.
She goes into his room. He's asleep, and she's like, Michael, get up, it's noon.
And that alarm is going off, that the worst alarm noise in the entire freaking world. He's sleeping through it.
It's the generic alarm, when alarms didn't have options.
Yeah, and so Michael is like, oh yeah, I'm sick, I got food poisoning.
She's like, well, get up and take a shower. And guys, I'm damned if you can take a quicker shower than Michael Mancini. Because, all right, get this. She puts him in the bathroom. Not necessarily the shower.
I don't think he took a shower, Dan. I think he was just...
He came out wet.
Really?
Yeah, he was dripping.
I thought he was just leaning up against the wall. No.
She says, go in the bathroom. He goes in. The door gets shut. She picks up a cover. Not even all of them. She picks up one cover, sees the pills.
Sees the empty pill bottle.
Right. Then goes into the bathroom.
Then she finds another pill bottle.
Yeah, finds a second pill bottle. So we're going to be generous and give this, 15 seconds. And then Michael is out of the shower with a towel on, comes back out, explains the pill bottles, no, and he's dripping.
She opens the door, and he's just leaning up against the wall with a towel around him. I thought he was just like, he went in there and then just like hung out on the wall for a little bit and came back out.
He took a shower. Watch it again. He is wet.
Okay.
15 second shower. That's amazing.
It's pretty
impressive. It's so efficient.
And he probably just went, like, stepped in there for a second and came out. He's, like, so literally efficient. Just freaking high out of his mind. He didn't wash anything if he did get in the shower.
He did. You don't believe me?
I believe you. Jeez. Okay.
This is the quickest shower in the history of man.
All right. So Michael asks her, how did you get in? And she's like, the key. I saw you one time when you put it under the plant. And then Michael says, you don't miss a trick, do you? Yeah. And then there's a beat. And then he looks at her and goes, sorry, wrong choice of words.
And doesn't he tell her, like, stay out of my way?
Yeah, he says, Sydney, I don't want you cleaning. I don't want you coming here. I don't want you doing anything for me. Just get away. I only want to get back with Jane.
Dude, Jane is done. It's over. You guys have been divorced. You have rehabilitated with her. You sort of got back with her. And then you royally fucked it up again.
Well,
it's over.
He's grasping at straws. I mean, Jane is his beacon of hope. She's the last vestige of anything that's similar to a life that he knows. Because without Kimberly, without having that, like, that foil, that person that he can bounce off of, he's just lost. And I think he's just kind of putting Jane in as a replacement for Kimberly and just wants somebody.
Well, then take Sid. Sid wants him.
Yeah, he probably should. They're made for each other.
They are a match made in hell.
Okay, so it's the Harbor Cruise and the whole Melrose Place. Well, not the whole crew, but we've got Amanda, Jake, Joe, Reed. They're all on this boat. They've got a boat full of people that
this
are boozing.
Whack.
But
it's lame.
Amanda's like really, really impressed by it.
She's digging it. She's got this like Bill Cosby sweater on.
She does. And she's like, this is great. The waves, the moonlight, it just sings. And Joe is like, oh, leave it to you. You make everything sound like an ad campaign.
Yeah.
So you can already see that there's tension between Joe and Amanda, as you know, if you couldn't already.
Joe loves it. She's like, Jake, Amanda's like, Jake, come on, dance with me downstairs now. And so he goes. And then Jake and Joe, Reed and Joe have this like moment up there. And Reed's like, this is my dream.
Yeah, so Reed's steering the boat and you think it's just him and Joe up in like, I don't know if you call it the cockpit of the boat. Like the
captain's lair.
Okay.
I don't know.
The captain's lair where there's like the wheel and they're both up there and Reed is like, you know, this is part of my dream. Woman I love on my boat. We're chartering different trips, places. We're working together as a team.
Running a charter biz.
This is all I want. And you can tell that Joe is getting like catching some feelings and she's like, you know what? I've thought about it. And I really want to give you your collateral to buy this boat and do your own business. I really want to do it.
So in true Joe fashion, she introduces money into a personal relationship that will only be destroyed by it. And wants to give Reed money for the boat.
Yeah. Not a good idea. Mm-mm. So Joe leaves, and then Reed turns to some dude who was like, where did he come from? And he's like, hey, Ted, take the wheel.
And Ted's just like, yeah, sure.
Okay. And it's like, who is Ted?
Yeah, who the fuck is Ted?
I thought like this whole cockamamie plan only involved Melrose Place people. It was going to be Reed and Jake and then Amanda and Joe as the backers. And then there's Ted?
Let's get Ted on the podcast.
Who's Ted?
If Ted, if you're listening, we need you on here. Explain yourself.
We need to know. What were you doing with Reed? What's your role?
Yeah, where do you come into play?
Just kind of weird. So after Joe has left and Ted takes over steering.
Ted's probably someone's like nephew that they like got on the show.
Like, hey, you're going to steer the boat. You're going to take over.
Yeah, it was just a favor.
Yeah, probably. So Reed looks down and he sees that Jake is nowhere to be found. And Amanda is just kind of looking off into the expanse of the ocean by herself. Mm-hmm. And Reed sees this as an opportunity. He goes down to the lower deck where she's standing and gets really creepy right up behind her and like puts his head on her head, like his chin on the top of her head, and is like, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Like, if he had an erection at this moment, she would be feeling it on her butt.
Yeah, it's too close for comfort. And if I were
especially
Amanda,
if you're gross like Reed, it's like dripping oil on her.
I don't know how Amanda doesn't just like whip around and just punch him in the face, because I'd be like, why are you getting all up on me like that?
Just like mace him.
Yeah,
stranger, stranger danger.
And that's when Amanda tells Reed that she wants to help. She's been very impressed by the evening, and she thinks that this is a money racket, that people would just pay to go on this boat and they could charge people out the wazoo, and she wants to give him the collateral too. But then, of course, Reed is so conniving, just like Amanda, mm-hmm. and is like, you know what, I already have a partner and her name is Joe. So I think by inserting that like little competition, that he knows he's going to get these two women to like try their hardest into doing the best that they can with this boat business, and he's going to benefit in the end.
Yeah,
by pinning them against one another.
And he's basically like, "Well, I've got Joe," and Amanda's response is, "I'm not going to run when things stop working in the bedroom." And then he's like, okay, well.
Well, because she thinks that Joe continually makes this mistake where she wants to go in financially with people that she's romantically involved with. And then when they break up, the business then dissolves. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of telling him that. And then he's like, okay, well, look, I'll think about your offer. And Amanda's like, if I were you, I'd think about it right now, because when this vodka wears off, I don't think that this is going to be an offer that's on the table any longer.
Such a bitch.
Or I kind of like the way that she laid this out for him.
Do it now. I don't know. Now we go back to Melrose Place in the courtyard. There is a gentleman caller, and he is hopped up on that shit.
Yeah, it's Michael Mancini.
Jane, open the door. I love you, you stupid bitch.
No, I'm sorry, Jane. Sweetheart, baby. I mean, open the door. Come on, you whore.
Let me in, you fucking bitch.
So, of course, Jane is terrified. She's in her apartment calling the police. Somehow Sydney catches wind of this, and she runs down from her apartment.
And Jane's been calling for the past 20 minutes.
Yeah, trying to get the cops out there because...
So Michael's just been there for 20 minutes.
This could end really bad, actually. I mean, you think about a high ex that's at their ex-wife's apartment, banging on the door, every other word, like every other sentence is, I love you, no, you're a bitch, I love you, I hate you.
It says, I survived, written all over it.
I'm telling you, it's one of my true crimes. It's the making of it. I can see it a mile away. So the cops are being a little slow to respond. Sydney comes down and is like, Michael, get upstairs right now into my apartment. The cops are on their way, and if they catch you here, you're going to be arrested. Get up here. So she, like, just in time, whisks him away, and as they're walking into her apartment, the cops are rounding the corner, coming into Melrose Place.
And you see how quick he got up those steps?
Yeah, no problems at all. Well, like you said, he's so high, he can't feel pain. So maybe that's what it is.
Maybe, yeah.
And of course, just like they, Sydney and Michael did before when they were having other horrible tricks played on Jane, they just watched her apartment from Sydney's window as the cops came. And they're like, well, where is he? Oh, we can't find him. Oh, well. And have a nice night, ma'am.
Jane's like, he's got to be here. He was here 2 minutes ago. And they're like, can't find him, ma'am.
Sorry, we're gonna go now. Bye-bye. Hope you don't die.
Yeah, take care. Now we're headed to Jeffrey's work. He's in full uniform, and he walks outside of his working.
I think he had like a speaking engagement where he was speaking to other naval officers.
Right.
That's kind of what I gathered from it.
And who's there but Matt? Trying to, like, interject and insert himself in Jeffrey's personal life.
Yeah, so it's really weird. Jeffrey's walking out with all of his colleagues, and Matt's, like, runs up to him, like, hi, I just couldn't wait to see you. And he's like, I thought we were meeting at the restaurant. And he's like, yeah, but I just wanted to see you before then. And I'm like, Matt.
Matt, you know what you're doing.
BS.
What did he think was going to happen? No, he would roll out there and be like, oh, hi, Jeffrey. Hi, who are all these are all your friends.
And give me a kiss and introduce me as your boyfriend. Like, you already know Jeffrey's stance.
And on Jeffrey would just be like, I'm gay.
Yeah, like, and no, I feel like this was done in a very bitchy way.
Horrible.
I really feel like there was more to it than this innocent, oh, I just missed you so much. I wanted to see you, like, before the 30 minutes we were supposed to meet at the restaurant.
Yeah. If you really like somebody, you will wait and let them come out how they want to.
Exactly.
You know?
I just thought that there's a lot more to it than how Matt's, like, trying to, like, play this whole, like thing where he's like this innocent thing where he's like, well, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong.
I just wanted to see you.
It's and like, shut up. You know exactly what you're doing.
And he's shocked. Jeffrey has to play it off. He's like, hi. Yeah, everyone. This is my friend from high school who I just saw randomly. And then Matt's like all upset.
Like, oh my gosh, why would you lie to them? Why would you say that? And it's like, Matt.
It's like, bro, I met you fucking 3 days ago. We grilled burgers at my house. You know, who are you?
Yeah, and so he's like, what are you trying to do to me? And then Matt's like, well, what did I do? And then Jeffrey's like, you know what? Forget it. Just stay the hell away from me. Like, Get out of my life. And then Matt's like, yeah, okay. Well, if that's how you want to live your life, then live it.
Live it. It's like, Matt, come on. Matt's a little drama queen.
Yeah, the more I get to know Matt, the more like little pieces of him come out, like the swim disc, like how he would be with Rhonda. He would like just like snap at her.
Abuelu, whatever his name was at the clinic. What's wrong? It's your dad, isn't it? Tell us. I'll kill you, man. I'll kill you. Remember that kid?
I forgot all about that. Where he, like, picked up chairs and threw them and was like, tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah.
What's bothering you, S.A.?
And the kid's like, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. You blank white jackass.
God, I want to go back to those days.
And then he's like yelling at his parents. Fuck you, Dad. I'm out of here. I'm going to put the system on trial. It's like, God. Matt, relax.
Yeah, Matt does have a little bit of the flair for dramatics.
Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah.
You're making spaghetti for kids at the shelter.
Yeah,
okay?
And this is your third date, so.
Rhonda, why won't you help with the lunch for the kids? hey, chill out. I got a salad pack and we're cooking spaghettis.
Yeah, it's really not that hard to make spaghetti for 10 people. It's going to be fine. Okay, so next up we go back to Melrose Place to Allison and Billy's apartment. And they are trying to get back into talking about the New York situation.
Okay. And did Allison make this cake?
No, she bought it.
Oh, I was going to say. That's impressive.
It looks so good. Yeah. I wanted to eat it so bad.
If you made that, you should quit your D&D job and open up a bakery.
A ladyfinger chocolate mousse cake.
Look good. What's a ladyfinger?
It's like that little long vanilla cookie. I guess they look like ladies' fingers that were adorning the top of the cake.
Interesting.
And is it just me, or does Allison's eyes look like they're, like, purple?
It's a lot of cake for one person, two people. But I didn't notice her eyes.
We're still on the cake?
I'm still thinking about that cake.
Yeah, they look like a shade of violet to me. They're like this... I know that she had blue eyes, but, like... For some reason in this episode, her eyes are like violet blue. They're really stunning. And I think maybe it might be the combination of like they're putting this like crazy, like deep red lipstick on her. And with her blonde hair, maybe that's what's doing it. But
maybe she has mood eyes.
Maybe. Maybe she's a witch. So
that would explain why all her boyfriends go psycho.
Yeah, they all do. I'm just waiting for Billy to have a meltdown. Please, God. Please make that happen.
Please quit the show, Billy.
Okay, so they're talking about New York, and Allison is on the side that they can have a very successful long-distance relationship, and they need to take things slow and be conservative. But Billy, of course, getting his advice from Jake, is like, no, you're coming with me, or this isn't going on at all.
If you love me, you would come. Shut up, Billy.
It's like you're leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, and you work for a porno magazine. Escapades. All the stories you write are crap. Stop. You type with two fingers. This is not your career.
Yeah, so Billy says that it's just not a good idea that they're going to be 3,000 miles away from one another. So next up, we're with Jake and Amanda. And Jake is not happy that Amanda wants to invest in Reed's business. So it's that evening after the cruise and they're kind of walking back into the courtyard. And Amanda's like, well, I know that your ulterior motive is that you want to be in Reed's little business yourself to keep tabs on Joe. And now you can just keep tabs on me too, because I'm going to be involved as well.
And Jake's like, God damn it. I don't have anything to say to this.
And she just skips away back to her apartment like, good night.
Now Joe and Allison are in Joe's place. And this suitcase is on the table. And Joe just can't help it. She's like, I gotta know what's in the case. It could be drugs. I don't know. I'm just pacing around my house. I want to open it. And Allison's just putting paper on a fire.
Yeah, putting bad ideas in Joe's head. So it's the next day after the cruise, and really Allison is kind of talking her into opening it, saying, okay, tell me the story again. He's telling you they're just photos and old clothes. That doesn't sound like, why would he want to take that off of a boat? I mean, look at his history. And then Joe's like, yeah, all I can hear is Jake's voice in my head saying, an ex-con, you're doing business with an ex-con. And I'm thinking, I'm crazy. I am doing business with an ex-con. But then I'm like, oh, I have feelings for him. So maybe I need to just let it go. And she pretty much just decides right then and there, I have to open the suitcase. I need to know what's inside. And she gets a screwdriver and breaks it open.
Fucked up.
I mean, I understand that if you are storing something for somebody, you do have a right to know what's inside.
He told her.
But I'm just kind of thinking from like damaging somebody's property standpoint.
Yeah.
It's kind of messed up.
There might have been easier ways to get it open.
Yeah, did you have to break it? But she did. She broke the whole lock off. And inside, the contents are exactly what Reed had described. They were clothes. They were photos. For some reason, there was like an extension cord light in there.
Yeah, it was like a work light.
It was so special to me.
Everything in light. Here. Everything in this suitcase is what I love. Oh, you love this yellow ass light?
An extension cord? This is the heart.
This is the heart of what I. This is everything. These shit photos.
And like really ugly, crumpled up, stupid clothes.
Yeah, those clothes are really terrible.
But I think you and I both looked at each other and were like, this is a whole trap. This whole thing is a little test.
Yeah. And he knew she would open it.
Yeah, he knew. He knows.
Because now she'll never question him moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's what he needs. He needed to break her.
Yeah, so after Joe sees what's inside, she's like, well, so much for women's intuition. My instincts were wrong.
She's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then where's Allison? She just has no...
She's just like, well...
she offers no fucking...
That sucks.
Yeah.
So, next scene, we are back at the hospital, Matt's at work, and now Jeffrey comes to pay him a visit.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, he's like, look, Matt, I want to apologize. And Matt's giving him the cold shoulder.
Yeah, you know what Matt says? He's like, yeah, apologize for what? Putting me behind the eight ball, lying to your men, or lying to yourself?
And he's like, oh, hello. Yeah, I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, it's like, it's just, it's so weird to me. And
Matt expected him to just come out as gay at that very moment.
On their third date, yeah. Okay?
This is ridiculous, man.
It's crazy to me. And they have this conversation where Jeffrey is like, look, I really enjoy spending time with you. It's really refreshing to be with someone who's so comfortable in their own skin. And I think it's like rubbing off on me. And I think it's really making me take a look at my own life and how I want to live it.
And how long ago do you think it was that Matt was hiding that he was gay to his employer?
Like a year.
1 year.
Maybe a year and a half.
Yeah. One stinking year. But that was season
one.
Was
he ever hiding it? I don't think he was ever actively hiding. Yeah, but it's not like one of those things that you like go in and be like, hello, everyone, I'm declaring my sexual preferences today. Like, I think it was something that he just didn't talk about, but had the employers or somebody there asked him, I think he would have been totally forthcoming about, you know, that he is gay.
Well, maybe Jeffrey would too. But unfortunately, the policy of the military is do not ask and do not tell. So, Matt, you can eat your words.
Well,
you contradicting bitch.
We leave that scene in kind of like...
in a hard embrace.
Yeah, and I was like, that would have been a kiss.
Yeah.
They would have kissed,
but Matt grabs the back of his head and like strokes his hair.
Yeah, so we see the passion.
He's like, get over here, you hunk of man.
We see the passion for 94 TV. That wouldn't allow that.
You don't? They wouldn't allow a kiss?
I don't think so.
I wonder when the first gay kiss was on TV. Let us know if you know. Tell us.
I hope it would be Matt Fielding.
That's a good question.
But I feel like 94 was a little, I feel like it was too soon for that.
I know the first interracial kiss on television.
What was it?
It was Star Trek.
Was it a Klingon with a human?
No.
Because I don't think that counts.
It was Uhura and Kirk. Shatner.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Back in like the 60s?
First black woman, white man kiss on television. Ever. It's crazy it was not that long ago.
Was it the 60s?
Had to have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Was that a 60s show, Star Trek?
I think it was originally, and then it came back as The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next up, Shooters. If you want to take a date out somewhere really nice, it's the only place...
The hottest ticket in town.
Yeah. So Joe's meeting Reed there. She thinks they're going to share a nice romantic dinner, only to find out that Reed has invited all of his business partners, which include Jake and Amanda. But where's Ted?
Yeah, where's Ted?
Where's Ted?
He's probably working on the boat.
He was steering the boat. All the business partners are there. This Ted character is not panning out for me.
Yeah. So Amanda at first pitches herself as like a silent partner. I don't know about boats. I don't want to do any of that. And then she's already pitching ideas for like, we need a full liquor license. We got to make this thing pop. I'm ready to do it. We could put my name on it. Blah, blah, blah. And Joe's like, whoa.
Great, Amanda. You've really thought of everything, haven't you? Coming in and stealing everybody's thunder. Thanks very much. Yeah, so you can tell that this is all rubbing Joe the wrong way. She's not very pleased that Amanda is going to be involved in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And we can tell that the tension is building.
And Jake is just not there anymore. You know? Amanda makes him such a, like, a pussy. He just doesn't do anything.
Amanda's a very strong, independent woman. And she does kind of dampen his spirit.
Yeah, he just... There's no, like... I want to, like...
There's no fire!
I want some backstory on Jake. I want Jake to get in, like, a bar fight or something.
I hope... It's gotta get... I feel like the issues that we're dealing with now, the only storyline that I'm, like, fully invested in is Michael high on pills and, like, stalking Jane.
That's all I like.
Yeah, just show me that story. Because I don't like this boat story.
I want Reed to die so much. Every scene, I'm like, is this boat going to explode?
Hopefully Ted will just freaking, like, throw him overboard.
I vaguely remember Joe having to, like, shoot him.
That could be a nice end for him.
Yeah, something goes down.
Okay, so next up, we have Sydney picking Michael up from his shift at the hospital, and she... What?
They kiss?
Your face, I was like, did I say something wrong? But yeah, that really strange, confused look.
He hops in the car like they've been married for 3 years, and he's like, hey, babe.
Yeah. Really?
Hey, sweetie.
Okay, but you know, we understand that he has an ulterior motive here. He has a prescription that he hands over to Sydney and is like, okay, honey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go into that pharmacy right there. You're going to get this filled. You're going to come back. You're going to give me the pills right now. You're going to give them right now. You're going to go in there. You're going to get them right now. You're going to get them right now.
And he's visually sweating.
Yeah, like he is visibly. Like Joneson. He really needs his pills. And Sydney's like, okay. And she unfolds the prescription and she's like, okay, wait, Michael, this says that these pills are for me, so I don't understand. I'm going to go in and give them to you? And he's like, yeah, that's what you're going to do, okay? I can't write my own prescription,
I'm a doctor.
I had to make it out to you, so you're just going to go in and you're going to get them. And she's like,
I don't know, Michael, these are pain pills.
Yeah, and I don't think they're good for you, Michael. I think they're probably really bad for you. I don't want you to take them.
Get that script filled or get out of my life! Do it now.
And she's like, Michael,
wouldn't one of your doctors just do it?
I think you should just go see a doctor. And he's like, I am a doctor.
Look at me. I'm the doctor. I'm in pain. Do you know what pain is?
Oh, are you God now?
Get the fucking script.
And she's like, okay, geez, Michael, I'm going to go get it. But man, I just want these scenes just over and over again for 45 minutes.
Yeah, can
just
they
show just me this for 45 minutes long? That's
like,
all I want.
Dude, like spin off the show. Call it Michael and Sid. And I'm watching. So now Billy and Allison.
They're talking about how they're going to make their relationship work long distance.
Right. And Billy says the coolest shit ever. He's like, when I'm gone, there's going to be Keith. There's going to be Steve. So, like, how many Keiths do you think there are?
There's only one of a kind, okay? There's only one guy that can headbutt a TV.
Yeah.
And his name is Keith.
And laugh about it. If there's more Keiths, You let me know.
Because that's the other show I want to watch. Yeah. It's just
Keith Sydney Place
and Michael.
I want to watch Keith Place. Remember his place? No furniture.
Just trash. Michael's place is looking like Keith's, kind of.
Yeah.
He's on the path.
He is on the path.
Okay, so Allison has figured it out. She is going to get advanced purchase tickets 2 weeks before, every 2 weeks, and that her office has a fax, so they're going to be able to do this. And Billy is not sold on this idea. He's like, look, Allison, logistically, we can make anything work. But emotionally, there's going to be Keiths and Steves around every corner.
If you love me, you're going to come right now. Okay, Billy.
That makes sense.
That's real fucking cute. I'm like right under the boss.
And then Allison is like, Billy, this is like not going to work. We have to be conservative about this. And Billy's like, well, what do you want me to do? And she's like, give me time. Give it time. You just go. And then we'll see how it works. And then we'll see what happens.
Yep.
I think that's the best, most sensible plan I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Allison is in the right. Now it's Reed and Joe time.
After their dinner at Shooter's with their new partners, Joe is very visibly upset. She's stomping back to her apartment with Joe trailing behind, and she's just saying, you know, Reed, I don't understand why you would do this to me. You know how I feel about Amanda. You know I don't trust her. And I don't know why you could go behind my back and invite her to be a partner like this. And he's like, whoa, 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 babe. You keep business life and personal life separate. I saw an opportunity. Amanda has the means. She has the cash. And we need that now. So I took that opportunity. And Joe is still upset. She kind of has the upper hand. And then this is where you can tell that Reed had planned all of this out. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, well, I'm going to go. But before I leave, I have a present for you in that suitcase. A little something I want to give you.
And she's just like, Did she forget?
No, you get. She's kind of playing it that way. And you can tell at that moment, it's like, oh, all of the power and everything I just asserted on you and I was like bitching your ear off. Now the tables are going to turn.
I'm about to swallow all my words.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you remember the suitcase that I asked you to hold for me? Why don't you go get it?
Yeah. Remember the suitcase from World War II? Get it.
Go ahead. So she turns around, goes to her bedroom to retrieve the suitcase, and then we get a tight shot on Reed's face, and he has the most, like, maniacal,
dirty face.
Like, huh, let's see what you did with it. You can tell that this was a setup. He's testing her this whole time. She comes out very sheepishly. Her eyes are cast down to the floor. She's holding the suitcase against her body. She comes out and doesn't even make eye contact with him and just puts the suitcase on the table. And then, of course, all of the contents are splayed out because it's broken.
Yeah.
She broke it.
And then he's like, lie to me, Joe. Lie to me. Tell me you dropped it.
Yeah, so he like flies off the handle immediately. And she's just like a child, like a kid getting scolded. She's playing with her fingers. She's looking down. She won't look up at him. And he's like, well, yeah. You're talking about having a business with me? You don't even trust me, Joe. I asked you to hold on to these things for me, the most valuable things to me. And all you did, you didn't trust me. You opened it. And
my yellow light and extension cord.
Yeah, and you gotta wonder, what did he want to give her out of that suitcase?
A dirty shirt.
It better not have been that freaking light and extension cord.
This is the light that I used in prison to hang myself.
Here is an old dirty flannel shirt that I wore in high school when we were supposed to go to the prom together.
Ugh.
What is in there that you would give to somebody? But again, it's all a ploy just to make sure that he gets his point across to Joe. So
he's out.
He storms out off. And like, that's it.
So now Allison and Joe are doing, we have a laundry scene. We haven't had a laundry scene in a while.
I haven't been down to the laundry room in a minute.
So Allison and Joe are doing their laundry and they're talking about the blow up and Allison's like, Joe's talking to Allison and saying that like Billy will come around. He'll be into the whole long distance thing and it'll be fine. And then it's sort of like, well, how are things with you? And Joe explains that there was a blow up with Reed and he opened the suitcase and Allison says, I can't believe it. What do you mean you can't believe it?
You were there and egged her on to open the suitcase.
Yeah, you opened it. He said, don't open it. You can't believe you got upset about that? What's not to believe?
So Allison says to Joe, don't be so hard on yourself. Joe does say, you know, I owe him an apology. I really want to make this work. I have to make this work. She's just gone through so many failed relationships. She just wants to glom onto one and just kind of make it stick.
Don't make it stick with dirty ass Reed, please. Please. So it's the next day, or I guess the same day maybe, and we go back to the boat. Reed's on the phone, and he wants to double his order to Nick.
Yeah, he's like, Nick, I want to double my order. Yeah, bud, I got double the money. Yeah. So
this is our first inclination. Uh-oh.
There's something not on the up and up happening here.
Something's a-brewing.
He's going back to his old drug carton ways.
Yep. And Joe shows up. She's sorry that she opened the case. She wants him to accept her. And he reads basically like, okay, fine.
Yeah. And of course he's like, yep, she played right into my little plan. And yeah. Now, like you said,
now she's
everything he does from here on out, she's got to trust him because that's kind of the relationship that they're building now. And he's totally going to take advantage of her for sure. Yeah,
she will not question him ever again.
And he says to her, I need you, Joe. I need you.
I need you.
Yeah, probably to be like a mule.
To be the goat.
What does that mean?
Or the fall guy.
The patsy.
He needs her. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So let's head on over to the beach house that Michael does not pay rent on and does not own.
Yeah, we don't know how he's still able to stay in this place because when Kimberly was around, he couldn't even like make the rent, but okay.
Sid shows up. She's like, Michael, hello.
The hospital said you didn't come in today. Are you here?
Yeah, she's calling work. Is Michael there? Yeah. Hi, is Michael there? Can you tell him Sydney called?
And
okay, bye.
Sydney goes through the apartment. There's no sign of Michael, but then she hears water running. Maybe he's taking another 15-second shower.
Yeah.
She peeks in and finds Michael collapsed, unconscious, on the bathroom floor.
This looks intense. Like, his neck is, like, up against the wall.
He's going to get a real bad crick in his neck.
He looks dead.
He does not look good.
She's like, Michael! Michael! She runs to the bed. She picks up the phone, calls the cops. And she's like, you got to get an ambulance over here right now. She knows the address by heart. And they're like, what's the name? And she's hesitant. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, and then she goes, Michael Mancini. Dr. Michael Mancini. And then she hangs up.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, whoa. She's like, get here quick. Hangs up. Then she runs back to Michael and is like, she like caresses his head with the back of her hand. like an animal, like a pet. She's like, it's gonna be okay, Michael. It'll be okay.
Okay, next scene. This caught me off guard a lot. There's this weird guy just coming out of Billy and Allison's apartment. And
with Bex.
I thought that he was like one of Reed's henchmen, but I came to find out this is a cab driver.
Yeah, that's the cabbie.
Second time that we've seen a cab driver come into someone's apartment and get their bags for them.
Yeah.
Was this full, a thing?
Full service cabs. No, this was not a thing. It was probably Darren Star's like nephew. They're like, well, you can be the cab driver. Get the bags.
Well, if that's his nephew.
So Billy's gonna go to New York. He's hanging out with Allison outside the apartment. They're like hugging and kissing, and they're like, "Don't worry, you'll figure out all the cool restaurants, and I'll be right over.
I already have my first advance ticket to come to see you, and we're gonna go to the best takeout place right when I get there."
Yep. She's like, "It's only 6 hours. Make sure you sleep. That's what red eyes are for."
And nothing is really mentioned about, is Allison going to get a roommate? Can she take on the whole rent by herself?
Basically.
Is Escapade paying for it? Is Billy still paying for it?
I don't know.
I'm just curious about these little intricacies.
And then Billy...
Because if you were like, "Oh, I'm leaving," I'd be like, "Well,
what about that rent?
To move now, because I can't live in this house without you."
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Escapade is going to foot the bill for at least for a little bit in New York.
They better. They gave him 3 days.
Just moved. Yeah, 3 days. Let me find a place in New York. Then Billy walks. He walks away. He does a stop and a turnaround.
And then you think he's going to say, "I love you."
And he's just, "See ya."
In old Billy fashion. Well, okay, see ya.
See ya.
No, I love you. I mean, they were hugging and kissing and stuff, but just thought it was kind of weird that they left it on that kind of a note.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, imagine it as if you were watching it week to week in 94. There's a lot of stuff that was, holy shit. Like, of course, we know there's going to be more Michael.
And more Billy.
And more Billy.
But for the first time viewers, that could have been both of their last episodes. Because the other characters have come and gone that way.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw Sandy again.
Rhonda left in the middle of... We didn't even see a Rhonda goodbye.
Yeah. Well...
She didn't pack up and leave. They just talked about her.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
They're just like, "She's gone. Sandy...
She gone. Did have that in the Sandy courtyard.
Yeah, she had a "see you later" with her bags.
And then we saw the scene with her on the soap opera. Yeah.
And then Katya.
Oh, yeah.
Scene with the bags. Bye.
Yeah. What I think is so weird is that Katya and Nikki were such a big part of Matt's life. And now it's like they never existed.
Yeah. They have a huge send off. Yeah, Matt, you're fucking married.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's living a lie, you asshole?
That is a great point.
You're fucking married to a woman. Bet you can tell who my bitch of the week is.
I know. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this was a cliffhanger like crazy.
Yeah, so this was the end of the episode.
End of the ep. So let's recap this mofo.
Matt makes Jeffrey examine his life.
Billy takes the job in New York.
Jane gets a restraining order against Michael.
Michael ODs.
Sid is playing both sides.
And Reed gets his investors.
Yep, that about covers it.
That'll do it.
So 90s moments, what you got?
I've got Allison's mom jeans at the end. And her white sneakers.
How was that ever a good look?
Never.
I don't get it.
Just mommy jeans.
And of course, we already talked about the robe, but that really stood out to me. That robe. Everybody's the dad red robe. Had it.
Yeah. It's a rite of passage. I want a robe like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Another one I have is picking up the entire phone and walking around with it while it's still plugged into the wall.
Mm, yeah.
That was a big thing.
The first portable phones.
I remember doing that.
The VHS of Manhattan at Billy's place when he's trying to show off New York.
I think we've said this before, but of course, Michael's comforter and duvet set, but... In his room, there are framed photos of literal clip art, guys. It's like somebody went into like a Windows 95. They didn't even have Windows 95.
94.
And it's like clip art. It's just framed. I don't know how anybody could put that on their wall and be like,
this is it.
This is it. Yep.
I've got Sydney's jacket, the suede, dangly
fringe,
Macho Man Randy Savage jacket.
That alarm clock sound. We talked a little bit about it now. But yeah, I think the whole concept of having a separate alarm clock, I think everybody pretty much uses their phones now, but that sound, oh,
yeah,
it's like vomit-inducing.
I've got a two-parter. One, Reed's suitcase. That is an old-timey suitcase.
That's not a 90s moment. That's like a turn-of-the-century moment.
It's a very old-timey suitcase. And then just even referring to it as a suitcase, you would call that luggage or just a bag now?
Like, I would call it a suitcase.
No, you wouldn't.
Babe, I call my bag suitcases.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Mm-mm. I'm like, you got your bags? You say, yeah, I got it. Can you get my bag? It's a bag. Everyone calls it a bag now.
I do refer to it as a suitcase.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Okay, well, next time we fly.
Yeah, you better call it
next
suitcase.
Week, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I have is, we've touched on this before, but the whole way that they book airline tickets and talking about getting like advanced purchase tickets 2 weeks in advance. It's like, that's not a thing anymore.
No, definitely not a thing. Amanda's Cosby sweater with that like odd 3D design.
Yeah.
Looked like a slug. Yeah. Slugs running down her.
No, it's a good one. So, lesson, what are you taking away from this app?
My lesson is, do not invest in shady businesses. Just don't. Stop doing that. If you really don't know the full extent of a business, maybe chill.
Mine's exactly the same.
Don't
throw your money around in businesses you don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, silly. Reed for 2 weeks and you're like, I'm ready to lay it all down on the line for you.
Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, let's ride the boat once and say, oh yeah, this is easy money. Here's $10,000.
And I think that this is going to come back in spades in later episodes, but this is really laying the groundwork that something is fishy is really going on here and all of these guys are going to get bit in the butt.
Yep. Bit right in the ass.
So you've alluded to this, Daniel. The favorite segment of ours.
Bitch of the week.
I'm a boss ass bitch. Bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
Well,
bitch,
first off, bitch, last bitch. Podcast.
Oh my God, so long ago.
Not even last week.
I don't even remember.
It was arousing suspicions. I chose Amanda, you chose Sydney. 60% to 40%. Who do you think?
Amanda.
You are exactly right.
I feel like if Amanda's in it, she's winning.
They vote for her, yeah. Well, this week I've got, of course, Matt Fielding. And here is why. Dude, this is like a rule. I'm not even gay and I know. Like, do not pressure somebody into coming out quicker than they want to. That's a thing that's on your terms, you know? You just can't, you cannot ask that. And you certainly can't put, like, fabricate and put yourself in a position to where it could accidentally happen, you know? Just fucking showing up at somebody's... At a place of business and being like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah. And then don't get mad at him when he's on the spot trying to cover it up. He's not ready to come out. He told you that almost from the get-go. You got to respect it, homie. Relax, Matt.
I couldn't agree with you more. And because this is a competition and you called it first, I had to pick somebody else. But
And also, sorry, Matt You're married to a woman. Has that been divorced?
You got your own skeletons in your closet, man.
Yeah, you're a hypocrite, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to agree with you on that. I think that that's totally messed up. Like, you've got to let somebody do that on their own terms, and you can't pressure anybody into doing it before they're ready. But because this is a competition and because I need to come up with a bitch to put against yours, I'm going with Joe. I really think that the way that she's conducting herself lately is really a bitchy way to live your life. She's just going headfirst into this new relationship with this shady character. She knows not a lot about him. She is willing to invest all of this money into his business, yet she doesn't trust him enough to see, like, what's the whole breaking open the suitcase thing was really childish, and I didn't love how she did that. I mean, I would just say, hey, I want to open the suitcase together in front of you to see what's in it. I think that that could have been a way better way to get to the bottom of everything. And the way that she reacted when he confronted her, I, like, lost a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, she, not like, a cool aunt.
The way that she was, like, looking down and couldn't make eye contact, and it's just kind of like, okay, you know what, girl? Like, yeah, you made a mistake. You probably shouldn't have done it, but own up to it. Look at him in the eye and say, yeah, I didn't trust you. You've got there's a lot of questionable things, and I did that. And maybe apologize for it if you think it was a wrong call, but I just think that you need to stand by your actions or apologize right then and there and say, I did the wrong thing. So I don't know. For those reasons, I'm going to nominate Joe and say she was the bitch.
She could have even playfully called Reed and been like, oh my gosh, I want to open it so bad. Can I open it?
Yeah, she could have.
And then he'd been like, no, don't open it. And be like, please, I just want to know what's in it. Come on. And then maybe he'd have been like, all right, you can open it.
Maybe, and avoided the whole thing. There's a lot of different ways she could have gone.
And if he's like, no, don't you fucking open it, but it's bitch. Like, then you know.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like either way, breaking into it, it's going to end bad. No matter what the outcome, because then you're the bad guy. Even if there's drugs inside, you're still the bad guy.
Yeah.
Because you still didn't trust him. And
well, I'd be like, I'm not comfortable with having things in my house. I don't know what it is.
And I just think,
I don't care who you are.
The night before, she's willing to pledge all of, like, her savings to him. And then she's like, but I have to break into a suitcase. No. I didn't care for that. So for those reasons, Joe Reynolds, bitch of the week.
All right. All of these episodes have a name. This one's terrible. What is it called?
Two Men and the Sea.
Two Men and the Sea.
Is that supposed to be
Jeffrey and Reed?
Or Ted and Reed?
Whatever his name is. Nick and Reed. Who knows? So we can do way better. Jenny, what's your rename?
I'm renaming this episode Restrain Yourself.
Restrain Yourself.
For a lot of different reasons. Of course, Jane got a restraining order against Michael. And then I think this is a little advice that Joe should take to heart. Restrain yourself before you want to open up a suitcase. Restrain yourself before you want to put all your money into somebody's business that you hardly know. And Amanda could take a little bit of that advice too.
Nice.
How about you, Daniel?
I've got two. That they coincide, though. It's the same idea. It's either deal or no deal. Or open the case.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to do something about, like, everybody's got baggage or something about, like, baggage.
No. Deal or no deal. Everybody's trying to make deals in this one.
Open the case.
And then open the case.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Predictions for next episode. What you got?
Michael's going to OD and lose his job. Like, I'm really hoping that because he's probably going to go to his hospital to get worked on, it's then going to be revealed that he's writing these bogus prescriptions for himself, and then he's probably going to get fired from being a doctor. But we all know Michael. He'll somehow get back into being a doctor, but I think that he's going to face some real trouble because of this.
Like, I hate you, Sid. You should have let me die. Now I'm going to lose my license.
I think Billy is coming back in a big way. He'll probably be in New York for the next two episodes. We'll probably see this like back and forth with him and Allison. And then I think after two episodes, something's not going to work out, or Escapade East Coast is going to go down or something. But he's not going to be there for long. He's coming back. And I think that Reed is definitely running drugs, and that all three of our Melrose Placeans are going to be in hot water.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I predict that Michael and Sid are going to be best of friends. just two peas in an evil pod. I think that Billy's going to quit Escapades. Because he just loves Allison so much and needs those mom jeans back in his life. And I think that Reed is going to sell drugs. So we're the same.
Yeah.
Now, we got some reviews.
We got some reviews. Thank you for writing them.
Yeah. If you want to leave us a review, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us one. We would love 5 stars, of course. But if you think there's some room for improvement, we want to hear about it. We want to know. And they help us out so, so much. And we read them on the show.
So we have a couple new ones that we got over the break. One is from Caspa. And it's entitled, Yes. Love, love Melrose Pod. Dan and Jenny are awesome humans. Well, thank you so much, Caspa. So happy to hear that. And we love that you love the Melrose Pod. And we love you. The next one is from Why No Forever. Me too, buddy. I'm right there with you. And the title is The 90s Are Back. Jenny and Dan make you feel like you're watching the show with them as they give you thoughts on the episode. Great chemistry between the hosts. And the podcast definitely makes you want to rewatch all the seasons. Kudos. Thank you, Wino Forever. That's such kind words, and I'm so glad that you think that we have chemistry.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
We love you guys.
We love you. And in our super cool, awesome Facebook group, we got a little comment from Donald. He commented on the episode that we just did and said that now that you guys are at Matt and Jeffrey's storyline, I felt that Matt was a big, huge jerk. I don't think that you should force anyone to come out to their family or their colleagues unless they're ready. And I also didn't like Matt's standpoint on the military, because I know that a lot of LGBT people don't think and feel like that towards the military in the 90s. I'm not entirely sure, so don't quote me, but I just felt that this storyline was sort of rushed, and also didn't like the way Matt pressured Jeffrey to come out. I mean, he seems to get mad at him for no apparent reason, and he just didn't like it. And we completely agree.
I'm right there with you, Donald. Like, this was so weird.
Yeah. Very, very weird. Very weird. And not cool.
And maybe you're right. Maybe the writers just rushed it because they're like, okay, we got to, like, churn out these storylines, like, ASAP. They really get to the point with a lot of these, like, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. That they get, like, they go somewhere. Like, you'll see a crazy thing happen every episode, which is cool. But I just feel like this one could have developed a little bit more, and it just really didn't make sense and left us all being like, Matt, why are you being a jerk?
Yeah, there's really no time, and it's just, everything you said, it's not developed. Are they together? Have they
They've
done
gone
it?
Gone on 3 dates.
Yeah. Have they had sex? What's happened?
Yeah. Very, very weird. So
far, y'all just had hamburgers together.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your input, Donald. And of course, we are so happy to see our Facebook little group growing and everybody kind of sharing some Melrose Place antidotes and their feelings about the episodes and fun little... someone was posting their old TV guide photos.
Oh, really?
And the ads. Oh, let me get into it because I thought that was so funny. I'm like, when was the last time you saw a TV guide? Anything? Oh, my God. What's happening out there?
It's the apocalypse. It's raining in L.A. and all shit just hits the fan.
Yeah, people are like... going insane. Justin. Of course it was Justin. He had the fall preview 1998 issue with this big old half-size page for the Melrose Place 200th episode. And it says, with a picture of Amanda, everyone at Melrose Place has a dangerous secret, and they're all in the diary no one knew existed. Until tonight.
Ooh.
Can't wait to get to that one. That sounds amazing. What's the diary that no one knew existed?
I don't know, but I need it.
Yeah, so like little things like that that get posted in the group just enhances our experience as viewers. I mean, we're kind of newbies to the whole Melrose Place world where we have a little bit of experience with
it. We don't know what's going to happen, guys. And I know a lot of you do know that. What's going to happen. And obviously, we can't get mad at like major spoilers, but...
Yeah, I mean, things that just is in pop culture that people know.
Yeah.
But it's just so exciting and so fun to watch everything unfold. And we just love watching it along with you guys and getting your feedback about the episodes. And
it's good to be back.
It's just fun. We missed you guys.
We missed you. It's good to be back. We're on, of course, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At Melrose Pod. If you want to get in touch with us directly, our email is melrosepod@gmail.com. And like we said, hook us up with a review, man. It helps so much.
We love smut.
And we love you.